Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. Receive your grace now, and we thank you for it. Precious Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Well, I did not seek to have a special message for this morning, as if to stand here and have something to open up this incredibly peculiar given service that the first service of 2023 would be a Sunday, and it would be the first sermon or message preached. So, you know, I wasn't under some kind of anticipation, like you need to come up with something, maybe even something prophetic. You know, you just, as it is, as you're supposed to be, as any man of God that is on this walk understands, or woman of God, that indeed you just spend your time in the presence of the Lord, and you're continually asking Him to feed you, that you're being changed, and whatever you're being changed into, then it transpires into the change of other people. Don't, as a minister, don't ever seek the Lord for a message, as in, what do I need something. Go before the Lord, continue to stay in the presence of the Lord, and let Him feed you and begin to change you, and then it just as natural as breathing, it comes on you and it comes out of you, it comes through you. But I mean, it's okay to say, Lord, what would you have me to teach, or what would you, that's okay, but it's not that we're seeking messages. Messages come through us as we grow, and that's, we are in Him. But I will tell you, as He always is, He's very, very faithful. So you are on His heart, and understand this, that there are hundreds more, not just some more, but there's hundreds more that will be watching today or over the next couple of days, that will be watching throughout the week this particular message. And please, if there is a leader that's not here in this room, I'll also encourage my daughters, their families, and everyone, please ask some, you know, if there's someone missing, ask them to please. Pastor has asked that every person that's part of this congregation hears this message, especially the leaders in the days ahead. Amen. This is a peculiar message in that, excuse me, please, thank you, ma'am, great assistance. It's a peculiar message in this, that it is not, the way that I minister is I hear from the Lord. Oftentimes I'll minister with notes, as the Lord, you know, gives me notes so that He can say things, and sometimes those notes have somewhat of a paragraph with them. I love and do oftentimes just minister out of my own heart, and I love, that's one of my favorite ways. And if there's a library of word there, you don't have to have notes. And I'm never, whatever I'm doing, it's because that's the Lord's, what He's told me to do. Well, this particular morning, and this is really very unusual, because He's only done this a few times, particularly like this, but this is totally manuscript. In other words, I will be reading the entire length of the message. I will try to keep eye contact. I don't like to be, having my face down and leave you, but I will look up as often as I can. But this word came to me so specifically that notes would not avail. I could not speak this out of my heart. It was manuscript of the Lord. It was as if the face-to-face was coming to me, and I had to dictate, type these things out as the Holy Spirit gave them to me. So we'll see what happens. I'll try not to comment unless I'm stopped by the Holy Spirit to say anything about what I am reading. But what I'm reading is not something that I've come up with. I can promise you with all of my heart and everything that's in me concerning who I believe that I am in Christ and all that God is, that these words have been given to me directly from the Lord. And so I'm asking you to receive them as directly from the Lord, and also knowing that there's a great deal more of us hearing this message this morning. It is a message of 2023. It is a pertinent prophetic message. And again, I did not seek this as if to say I need to come up with one of these things, but He is faithful. It will be manuscript, as I said. I will be reading these. So I will also say to you at the beginning that I think we'll will be probably right on time with this. I didn't measure the time. It may be even early. If necessity, we'll just read this and that'll be it. But I will say to you that you're welcome to follow along in the Word, but because of the essence of what we are doing, we won't give you an extended amount of time like we normally do to find it in your Bible or smart device. If you will give a brief pause, you can find it if you will or want to, but then otherwise we will go on. Agree with me in prayer. Stretch your faith this way. Hallelujah. I love all of you watching. Father, I receive your grace. I couple together with all the other men of God that are on the planet and women of God that are on the planet that are desiring to receive this outpouring. You know that we're serious. We're not playing church. And we believe that through your grace that you have empowered us to receive what, Lord, you have long so desired to be on the planet. Now, we believe that, Lord, you're dealing with many other congregations and even thousands and millions more to go into this place. And, Father, we thank you that we have been given from you a mandate and also this message this morning. And we praise you and thank you for it and pray that the Holy Spirit will cause me to give it in a way that it has been given to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. I really do appreciate them. They matter. The message title is, and I will pull this up if I need it, but most of all of everything is in these notes. Moses, my servant, is dead. Could you say that with me? Moses, my servant, is dead. In the weeks that led up to 2023, this phrase kept coming up in my spirit. Moses, my servant, is dead. I knew where this was at scripturally, and I knew that God had a prophetic word for our church and movement through these words. Now, these words are found in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 and following. And I will read this, and as I said, this is all scripted. You'll follow along with me listening. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead and Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and the land of Judah, unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley in Jericho, and the city of palms, which is Zorah. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give unto thee thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over hither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that's God, God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses. Weeping was not just, it is a way to say that they congregated together. It was much more than weeping. It was a celebration. It was a memorial. It was a really wonderful time. And Moses was 120, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of his weeping, the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded, as they did unto Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. and all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt in Pharaoh, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. It's obvious that Joshua wrote the last chapter in the book of Deuteronomy. It is also obvious that Moses' death was not a surprise to Joshua or to the children of Israel. Even though Moses was esteemed the greatest prophet ever in Israel, and he had a face-to-face relationship with God, he was forbidden to enter the promised land because of his sin in Numbers chapter 20. Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock. Speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast to drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered all the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the waters came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Numbers 20:13, the last one in this. And this is the waters of Meribah, because of the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. It was not Moses' disobedience through the anger that he had towards the children of Israel that caused him to strike the rock rather than to speak to it. Moses had been directed by God many years earlier in Exodus 17 to strike the rock with the rod in his hands and to bring forth water for Israel. So it had happened once before, but it was handled in a different way. Exodus 17, 5 and 6 says this, and the Lord said, this was previous, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, referring back to what he did in Egypt. Take in thy hand and go, behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come forth water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God clarified, listen to me, God clarified to Moses that it was because of his unbelief in striking the rock rather than speaking to the rock that would keep him from the promised land. Moses, this is very important, Moses chose to put his trust in the thing that he had once identified with as the power of God. The rod had changed the waters in Egypt to blood. The rod had opened the Red Sea, and the rod had opened the rock in Exodus 17 to bring forth water once before in Israel when they had just came out of Egypt. But now the rod was no longer an instrument of power, but rather the spoken word to the rock. There are also messianic implications that Christ the rock that followed them in the wilderness, which is 1 Corinthians 10:4, was only to be struck once by God. Thus we learn a valuable lesson that holding to the way in which God did something as the only way, holding to a way in which God did something in the past as the only way in which he will move again, can inevitably keep us from the promised land of revival. Now Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, unto the Hittites, and to the uttermost great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you, or with thee, and I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto you, or unto this people, shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What was the very first thing that God said to Joshua as the new leader of the nation of Israel? It was not for him to arise and go forth to conquer. It was not for him to be strong and courageous. It was not for him to continually make his meditation in the very book of the law which Moses had written for a continued success. It was not the promise that no enemy would ever be able to stand before him. It was not the promise that God had given him absolute victory in the land of promise. The very first thing, according to Scripture that we just read, his ordination, the very first thing that God said to Joshua is this: Moses, my servant, is dead. This was not an announcement of information to Joshua. Israel had just celebrated his life for 30 days. God was telling Joshua, the old is over and the new has begun. The memory of Moses would always be honored, as it just had been for 30 days in the hearts of all of Israel. His writings, and which was the book of the law, which are the first five books of the Old Testament, that Joshua was commanded to meditate in day and night, to form what? The doctrine, if you will, for Israel to live by in the land of promise. But God was beginning something new that only a Joshua generation could fulfill. Without a clear-cut distinction in the heart of Joshua, the leader, that Moses was dead, could he ever carry out his assignment for what God had called him to do? God himself had buried Moses in a secret place that no man could find. This was not just some mysterious act that God performed, but rather it kept Israel from creating a memorial grave site of Moses and camping there without moving on, or a travel back, a place to travel back to in the months and years to come to sit and reminisce of the power and the glory that Moses walked in. Moses had laid his hands on Joshua, and thus he had laid his hands on the Joshua administration in the coming years. The baton had been passed to Joshua and all his leaders to carry out the promise that God was in the land to be possessed. Now, God is not just saying in 2023 that I'm about to do certain things. Let me read that again. God is not just saying in 2023 that I'm about to do certain things. God is saying I am doing certain things. There will always be the possibility of a word of prophecy. We call them present day speakings, beginning with I'm about to do. God saying I'm about to do. Because God is the God of our future hope. But there comes a point when the prophesied thing, the thing that is prophesied, comes or becomes a living reality. Present tense. It's not always, I'm about to do, I'm about to do, I'm about to do. It's present tense. Stand in it. Walk in it. Now, God said to me, and I wrote these things down in the past couple of weeks. This was a word that came to me. When you were a movement, speaking of us all, that was young and starting to grow, I nurtured you as a mother does a nursing child. I nurtured you with a husbandman as a caretaker, that's what a husbandman is, that watches over a tender plant that is just starting to grow. I placed over you a man that revived lost truths to the body of Christ that had not been heard in many generations. This man prepared the groundwork for revival. He revived truths that will bring the revival. He was a revival. I like this when I heard this. He was a revival for the revival. But that which was once a child, that is us as a tender plant growing, of course. Now I'm adding this now. But that which was a child is now considered a man. In other words, that's how the Lord looks at us and expects of us. When you were a child in your understanding, you were timid in judgment because you had never walked this way before, nor did you have any examples in your generation of power, of the power of God working through mature sons and daughters of God. But now is the time to stop being timid in judgment regarding your call in the earth. There is a confidence that comes from walking in love and maturity. When you were a tender plant, you were not sure, but now you are no longer a tender plant, but an established and mature tree. God spoke to one of our fathers, that is still present tense here with us, not in this house, but is a father of fathers on this walk. God spoke to one of our fathers a number of years ago and said these words. This way, this is not verbatim, but this is to the best of my memory. This way has now come to a place where it is no longer acceptable to allow certain seeds to come above ground. The understanding of that word is this. Because of your place of maturity, it is no longer acceptable to pacify contentions that divide the body and doctrine that will misdirect, is which a misdirection of purpose for what we have been called to do. I'll read that again. The understanding of that word is this, because of our place of maturity is no longer acceptable to pacify contentions that divide the body and doctrine that is misdirection that is a misdirection of purpose for what we have been called to do. It should be dealt with immediately in the authority and love by which this way has been conceived. But it should never be allowed to come above ground and begin to grow into a tree in competition against the true planting of the Lord. Moses, my servant, is dead is a call for all of us to stand in unity against any compromise of our assignment. Moses, my servant, is dead is to declare that you will fulfill your specific assignment in regards to this outpouring that God has ordained in the earth. It is to choose your level of commitment and not to look back. Listen, Moses, my servant, is dead is a call for all of us to ask ourselves, who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? And again, I'm talking to hundreds more besides just you, but it applies to you as well, because he's saying this to us. Does your teacher teach you with emotions, catchphrases, cliches, buzzwords, zingers, and drop the mic phrases that leave everyone saying, wow, but delivers no substance to show how to walk in the power of a crucified life that delivers the power of the true gospel? Does your favorite teacher show you scripturally how to deliberately walk into a life of power? Does your teacher show you how to mortify the flesh that continues to control levels of the power of God that you and I walk in? Or does he just offer to you another good work through programs in the name of Jesus to offset the necessity of a crucified life? Does your favorite teacher wow you? Does your favorite wow drop the mic teacher continually remind you of a real spiritual war that is raging in the church and in America? Does your favorite teacher remind you that the war in the church to remove sound biblical doctrine against sin and replace it with a false narrative teaching on the love of God that is no longer defined by the word of God, but by the influence of demonic spirits from backslidden pastors who have left their prayer closet and replaced them with church programs? 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There is a great fable of doctrine concerning the love of God in the church today. It's a fable that allows the fullness of God, or the fullness of God's love, to be expressed in every instance of life without righteous convictions. Be careful of wow impressive preachers who teach strong on the love of God and our position in Christ without teaching the righteousness that Jesus taught us in all of his commandments. The body of Christ has become liberated to their own destruction in the name of love and acceptance. A lack of true biblical teaching has given way to voices in the church that make it acceptable to give place to sin while giving heed to doctrines of devils. This is how such notable gospel artists such as the six-time Grammy Award-winning Amy Grant could express her support to the LGBT community and then host a bride-to-bride wedding for her niece on her ranch while quoting or being quoted as saying these words in an interview concerning her decision to host the wedding, and I quote verbatim, "Honestly," she said, "from a faith perspective, I do always say, Jesus, you just narrowed it down to two things, love God and love each other," she said. "I mean, hey, that's pretty simple. That simplicity can eventually send you to the lake of fire and everyone who agrees with that lifestyle. This is a gross misinterpretation of the teachings of Jesus. Jesus taught us to obey all of his commandments, and he taught specifically against these types of perversions." 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Remember that in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus spoke of the five foolish virgins, which constitutes members of the body of Christ, that they were shocked to find out that to their horror and disbelief, they were assigned to eternal judgment rather than entering into heaven. Does your favorite preacher impress you with his love walk? By never specifically mentioning names of those who lead the body of Christ astray, while Paul himself instructed us to mark and to name those who cause confusion and division in the body of Christ and follow his own instructions. He followed his own instructions by several times naming names of those who were destroying sound biblical doctrine. "Moses, my servant is dead," is a message of leaving behind, contending with those who may be among us who have not made the decision to walk in all of the commandments of Christ. Does your favorite pastor, teacher, evangelist teach you who you are in Christ without teaching you that all of the promises are not without conditions of holiness and righteousness? Does your favorite teacher warn his congregations of the war for America is far greater than political, but that it involves the very moral fabric of the family and of the church? Does he seek to appear much more spiritual than the so-called preachers that have stooped to become political rather than remaining spiritual? Has your favorite preacher become blind that the church did not go into their world and become political, but they came into our world and became spiritual? Through their laws and mandates, they have begun to dictate demonic principles that would destroy family and church while promoting a woke liberal agenda. Does your favorite catchphrase preacher continually remind you of the real jeopardy of becoming part of the backslidden church that listens to preachers that would produce the five foolish virgins of Matthew chapter 25? Does your favorite zinger phrase preacher go higher in your eyes because he does not preach on controversial issues? Does he always make you feel emotionally encouraged without a challenge to change and self-inspection? "Moses, my servant is dead," is an understanding of the hour in which we live as the sons of Issachar in the days of David that had an understanding of the times and the seasons in which they lived. They understood that they will host, that's us, will host a great migration of people from denominations that can no longer abide in their backslidden denominations. One of our local denominational churches was just given a mandate from their headquarters to receive a homosexual pastor slash assistant to their congregation. It is no longer, hear me on this, it is no longer God's desire to revive these types of denominations. Prayers that these denominations will revive are prayers that avail nothing. There comes a point in which their demise is more of God's plan than Satan's original intent. Does your go-to preacher ever challenge your confidence of your spiritual walk, or does he always leave you with a warm, fuzzy feeling that you're totally okay just the way you are? Is there ever a moment in their services that the holy reverence of God is saying through them Is there ever moments in their services that the holy reverence for what God is saying through them as a servant only makes you desire to listen with a godly fear and trembling? Is there ever a moment where the anointing separates him from being just a friend, a buddy, or family member to a mouthpiece of God? Is there ever a moment where the anointing says, this is not a man speaking, but God? Is there always a comfortable, slap-happy atmosphere where the service never develops past the freedom to shout out something light and funny? God telling Joshua that Moses, my servant, is dead, was saying the truths of Moses were ministered to children. Now the truths of Moses must be acted out through adults. Our Moses, my servant is dead, to the revival church is we are now expected to take the truth that we have received and live it out as mature Joshua generation ready to conquer the land. Hallelujah. It is no longer a message of considering. I'm really thinking about growing up. No. You're behind schedule. It's no longer a message of considering to grow up. It is a present tense and absolute decision of the now. God said to me that I am breathing on an old prophecy. The old prophecy that came to our group was that the day would come when the fast would go faster and the slow would go slower. God has also said to me, in one of our recent services, that judgment is coming to the house of God, and that Satan was seeking avenues to destroy lives that were living a double standard. It is no longer acceptable with God for those who will sit in our midst and say, amen, or bring attention to themselves if they are doing the message, yet living a double standard. I must read that again. God has said in one of our recent services that judgment is coming to the house of God, and Satan was seeking avenues to destroy lives that were living a double standard. It is no longer acceptable with God for those who will sit in our midst and say amen, or bring attention to themselves as if they were doing the message, yet living a double standard. Moses, my servant, is dead is a message of no longer to babes in the wilderness, but grown-ups in the promised land. Moses, my servant is dead is a message of mountains and mountains of extended grace to accomplish our assignment. Moses, my servant is dead is a God's promise to visit us in our prayer closets to behold the glory of Jesus, our Joshua. He's our Joshua. Moses, my servant is dead, is the call to a room inside the Father's house that will produce a continual staying of the presence that will facilitate his power everywhere we go. Moses, my servant is dead, carries all of the anointings and the teachings of the past into an ordained army that are no longer children to in respect of what they believe, what they teach, or how or who they will follow. There is no room in their arsenal for foolishness, but absolute grace to conquer. Moses, my servant is dead, is the message of the old and the new inside a place of maturity. It is the message, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, but whatever former things I had that might have been gain to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and considered it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One, and that I may actually be found and know him as, or found and know as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, rituals, uprightness, and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may have in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into the likeness even to his death, in the hope that if it is possible I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out of or from among the dead even while in this body. Not that I have obtained this deal or have already been made perfect, but I press and lay hold or grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards or forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize in which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let us, those of us who are spiritually mature, And this is the message this morning to those. And fully grown, have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make it clear to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives in that. Amen. Hallelujah. We're considered by Him to be a group that now He expects to walk in a place of maturity. And I can't add to what He just said, except that I pray that these things sink down in your heart and your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. We worship you, Jesus. Father, Harry, if you will, please. Let's just worship just a bit. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Worship you. Would you magnify Him? One thing we want to continue to give away to is the opportunity continually for people to be born again. This is our message. Our message is a harvest. If you're watching this morning, or if you're possibly in here and you're not certain that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, most of everyone that is watching this is church. You would say church or family members, but you have no idea. We have no idea who might be watching in the days ahead or even today that has been invited to sit in a room with someone. This is the most important part of the service. Well, actually, all of it is. But right now, consider this. There has been made a provision for you if you're unsure about who you are or that you're unsure about Christ, eternity. You don't have to be unsure. Jesus, God's Son, came into this earth. The only begotten Son of God came into this earth to die for your sins and provide for you eternal salvation, but not just a place to live forever without punishment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Through one man's sin, death entered into the entire human race. Whoever you are, boy or girl, young or old, it's not your argument that you have been a good person. We're all born unjust. We all need a Savior. At some point in your life, before you die, it is absolutely important that you receive this free gift of God. It is not a gift to be put on the shelf as a trinket. It is absolutely a life to be lived. It's a change, of course. It's an absolute change, but the change takes place inwardly, not emotionally or not mentally or not with a desire to change your life through your own good works. If you're listening and you're not totally sure, if there's something inside of you that says, I'm not sure, I don't know if I'm ready to meet the Lord, this is your opportunity. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, in other words, we believe the plan and the purpose of salvation, the gospel message that Christ came as the sinless lamb to die in your place, in my place, and give his life a ransom for all of us. If you put your trust in that and ask him to come into your life, forgive you, there will be an immediate change inside of you. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And your name then will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, you'll be registered in heaven. Now, if you're not registered in heaven, the Bible tells us distinctly that he will look at the books, and every name that is not written will be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever and ever and ever. Now's your time to escape that judgment. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask God to touch your heart and life, and then I'm going to pray a congregational prayer. I'm going to ask you to enter into that and just mean it with all your heart. My prayer is this, Father, that you'll raise up their hearts, take down the blinders, cause them to right now truly see the necessity of receiving Christ and not put it off to another time in their life. Now, for all of you, mean this. If there's a concern, I've never received Christ, or I've not been living for Christ, I've been away from Christ for a long time, I'm not sure exactly where I stand, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that the free gift of God has come to me this morning. Jesus, I receive you as God's gift to me. Forgive me of all my sins. All of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. I choose now to follow you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Change my life. And I'll follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please, please go to our website. And on the face page of our website, you'll find the discipleship training manuals. There's 10 lessons there that'll just guide you for the next several weeks or days of how to begin to mature in Christ. And then you can contact us, email us, and let us know that you made that decision. But there's something already available there for you on our website, prepared for this moment. So praise the Lord. We love you. Happy New Year. And one more week to be off on Sunday night, and we'll start again next Sunday night. God bless you. We love all of our family watching and all of you here. Amen.